Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Tomorrow's show is pretty loaded. Like, we got a lot of stuff going on tomorrow's show. I'm excited about it. Dan Durkin's going to be on the show. He's going to break down the Bears draft. Like, I've deployed Dan Durkin to go watch tape of the new draftees, and he will have a very thorough report. Jason Leisure is going to join us on the show, and obviously we will break down what happens in Cubs Sox tonight. Joe Ostrowski will be on the show. I'm going to talk to him about fading the Reds because they clearly don't want to play Major League Baseball, and even their owner doesn't care that you know that they don't want to play Major League Baseball. Parkinson Spiegel have got you covered this afternoon. Hello, boys.
Hello, Lawrence. We do have you covered.
Sure do, man.
What a baseball show. Do you even want me here for this?
You know what I do?
You do?
I'm hoping by the end of the show, you're feeling it. Actually, you were feeling it yesterday.
I love Cubs Sox, man.
I know you do. You're a meatball.
David Robertson at 240, Steve Stone at 3, Kendall Graveman at 4, Boog Shambi at 440. That's Cubs Sox show, Lawrence.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that'll work.
Right.
I think that works. I can just get out here too if you guys want.
No, you're good. We like talking to you.
Not at all.
This is fun to think about. David Robertson, I believe, will be the first person that we've had the chance to talk to, certainly the first person I've had a chance to talk to, who was in the room when Chris Sale cut up the throwback jerseys and might not care about any sort of allegiances or loyalties and talk about such things.
When he went all Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah. Man. You know?
Could be a fun story to tell.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll get his thoughts on Drake LaRoche if we have time.
Oh.
He's a leader. Those are the vibes that Springs is bringing after that White Sox winner.
Team.
Those Drake LaRoche vibes.
He's a leader. He's a leader, man.
They were a national story that week.
Yeah, they were.
And not like a national sports story.
Oh, no.
They were a national story. I remember Paula Ferris hitting me up and being like, hey, I'm going to do a story on Good Morning America about what the hell happened. And I was like, so,
yeah. Good Morning America.
Are the collars uncomfortable if
Danny,
you're pitching?
It was on Good Morning America. we were talking. It became a framed conversation about children in the workplace. This is what was going on.
Simpler times.
He's a leader on our team.
That was one of the all-time quotes. God.
Oh, so funny. Hey, Lawrence, did you see that the Cowboys draft board got leaked?
I did.
Oh,
I saw that. That was interesting.
So apparently it's the fourth time in 11 years that the Cowboys draft board has been leaked, which is amazing in and of itself. I think they're a stupid organization. Is that at the top?
They're a sloppy organization.
That's what I meant. I would say a drunk organization at the top.
Yeah, it's really drunk. I think it's that the owner who made himself the general manager, his heart actually pumps Johnny Walker blue. Instead of blood.
I think that's true.
So they kind of leak a little bit more information than the average NFL team.
He held up their big board at the press conference. He held it up. And they shot video of it. Then somebody froze it and dug into it.
We never get to talk to Bears management, ownership, whatever. It's like a state occasion if they do. Their owner has his own radio show.
He sure does. And talks after every game.
Exactly. And holds post-game press conferences.
Wow.
Like, how crazy is that?
That is amazing.
Could you imagine, like, the last two seasons of post-game press conferences with George? And maybe the better question is, who would you rather have the post-game press conference with, George or Virginia?
I think Virginia.
I think so, too. I think that would be the person you'd want to talk to.
But
especially after like a loss to the Packers.
Well, but
put a microphone in front of that lady and let her do her thing.
Let's do all the teams. Which owner in town would you like to be giving a press conference after every game, or at least have a weekly radio show Reinsdorf.
Because he's got the most stories
from the Last Dance.
Yeah. Like, Reinsdorf's got the most stories. two teams, like
decades,
championships,
and decades.
Long-standing tie to the city.
It's true.
Reinsdorf's the most interesting,
and he has a lot of impact.
His makeup or what his regimen is when it comes to skincare, but he looked so good on The Last Dance. I was marveling. I was like, wow, like his skin looks great.
That's funny.
Like, money is awesome. Because, like, he looks amazing. Because what is Jerry, 84?
84, I think, yeah. He was 83, but that was a year ago, so we can't talk about that.
So we can't do the thing anymore.
Yeah, but
it's
too bad.
He looked great. I also
86,
think that,
okay. Gentlemen.
So it was 3 years ago that we can't talk about it.
A Rocky post-game press conference has the combustibility to be very fun.
It does, especially if Lazarus is there.
Yeah,
it
or Philip.
Oh yeah, it's a good point, Phil Thompson.
The problem with that is that when it was Pat Foley's last game, I think that 80% of the Chicago media also thought it was the Blackhawks' last game. Like, we don't know when they play, so like we would just all miss the press conference.
Yeah,
they'd be like, Rocky talked again.
There has been a few times
they
over
just
the past
played
few
on
weeks.
Tuesday. Like, they're like, no, they play a lot.
Like, they're still playing hockey, yes, huh?
How about that? So, I think Jerry's the answer.
Yeah,
man.
Jerry would be amazing.
It'd be very fun. But, like, Virginia or George would be cool. But how about just, like, the GM? The GM having to face non-team-owned media in football on a quarterly basis, much less a weekly basis, would be fairly remarkable.
Well, I just hope that Ryan Poles, who seems to have embraced the idea of transparency, still does it after the scout said the unfortunate things that he did and then was shown the door. Like, we don't have any sort of specific confirmation that he was shown the door because of said remark. He was one of three people shown the door.
Correct. And there's often scouting front office department turnover after a draft.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it sure is convenient, and it sure is odd to think, yeah, why don't you go out there and talk about our pick? By the way, I'm firing you tomorrow. No, we won't talk about that part. Anyway, just go out there and talk about the pick.
Yes, it would lend to reason that part of the thing that got him fired was his description of what the player is and how we tend to dehumanize players. And we love the tragedy porn. And I think sometimes we put on those players things that we don't have evidence to back up.
Now, that's fair. Like, we see a guy playing with an edge, or they see a guy playing with an edge, and they assume they know what it's about. Like, they've psychologically profiled. I must admit that I'm guilty of psychologically profiling people. I think it comes from sitting next to Dan McNeil for 5 years. Pretty sure that's where it comes from.
Well, and a lifetime of therapy.
Yes, lifetime of therapy, youngest of five, examining my siblings my whole life, that kind of thing. But, no, I hear you. You know about Jaquan Brisker's father, right? You guys know about him?
Well, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, the NBA player who
I thought that was his grandfather.
Yeah.
It's his grandfather.
It was his grandfather.
My bad. John Brisker, the grandfather, who was known as the heavyweight champion of the ABA, was a real physical brawler in the ABA and was missing in Africa in 1978, declared dead in 1985, but some people were convinced that he was still alive. I mean, that's a crazy and heavy story right there.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, but we talked about it yesterday. There is, of course, something to all of these teams talk about loving football and being committed to football and there being some value somewhere in that as a scoutable trait. And you should be able to acknowledge that without changing PhD to poor, hungry, and desperate, right? There has to be some sort of humanization and middle ground of just humanity and decency where that part doesn't need to exist. It should be fairly easy to eradicate that from scouting jargon, you would
think. Yeah, and the thing is that you can talk about a player being hungry without using the context of they come from a bad background and therefore that's what makes them hungry. Like, I've talked that way about Javonte Green, and to me, when I talk about like his hunger is to survive in the NBA.
Right.
Like, you can see that this is a guy that is doing everything he can with some limited physical gifts to stick and stay and be a starter in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to discuss those things. And even if you want to use language like that, the context has to be right to do it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because, of course, sometimes you find people from wildly variant backgrounds who also play with that hunger. Like, if you watched Aiden Hutchinson at all at Michigan, that dude plays with a relentless and crazy-ass motor and hunger. And his dad was a defensive end at Michigan, and he, you know, so it's like it doesn't matter what the background is sometimes. If you love it, you can find hunger for it if you truly love it.
Yeah, well, and just like most jobs and most people would say, being well-rounded is a good thing, having other areas of interest. In football, it's a huge negative. You know, it's a weird thing. Yep. Like,
you like stuff?
Read books.
You're too smart. You challenge authority. What are you doing in those graduate school classes? Are you not in your book? Speaks, you laugh, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
I covered a lot of guys, and Danny, you probably dealt with this too in Kansas City. There are a bunch of guys that played for that Super Bowl team for the Bears that have graduate degrees. And a lot of them did not want to talk about it, because they knew if it got out while they were playing, people would be like, well, why are you studying that? Why are you studying finance? Or why are you getting your MBA when you could be studying the playbook?
Why are you preparing for life after football?
Yep.
You got to love football. You got to love football. You do.
And I love football. But like, it's just a weird thing, because you would think like these guys are not, they know this, not all going home and just studying the playbook. And so if you have other areas of interest, that probably would lead to a more productive life. You know? Like, oh, I don't like anything other than football. Okay, cool. Well, now football's going to give you $20 million. Well, you can't be playing football the whole time.
Yeah.
So if you have no other interests and you have $20 million and it's a product of football, maybe that's where you find your way into some trouble.
You know, it's interesting. I was a very loud and passionate defender of Andrew Luck on these airwaves when he went back to school, because he was about more than just living the NFL dream. And it's funny how that whole thing has played out, and he left earlier than he could have, with a lot more meat on the bone of his NFL career. He doesn't care, but I think his story and his narrative has only reinforced the stuff we're talking about.
Well, yeah, it's just funny, though. Like, I think that if you did that whole draft over, though, even if you knew when he was going to retire,
you would still go for it.
It'd still be worth it.
Of course.
Give me 7 years of a great quarterback.
Yeah, of course. You'd still take him number one overall and not even... And that's, like, about as extreme of an example as we have. Guys have left football earlier in their career, citing safety and falling out of love with the game and that sort of thing. But they haven't been... You know, Jim Irsay said that Andrew Luck probably left $300 million on the table.
Yeah.
You know, in future earnings.
You know what that means for Jim Irsay? More guitars for that guy.
Yeah.
He's got a Jerry Garcia guitar. I think he's got a John Lennon, a Bob Dylan guitar. By the way, for anybody tuning in wondering, where's the Cubs Sox talk? We've got David Robertson, Kendall Graveman, Steve Stone, and Boog Shambi on the show. Plus a lot of our own thoughts as well.
I like this, though. I think that it's a part of sports that does need to get talked about, because it's the making them human beings. In football, it's more difficult than it is in baseball, because there's the robotic, like they look, was it Cletus? Is that the name of the Fox robot? Like the players at this point look like Cletus. Like, you can't see their faces and all sorts of other stuff.
Cletus is the slack-jawed yokel on The Simpsons. Is Cletus
also the
robot?
I'm pretty sure Cletus. Now, look, I was wrong with the nebulizer yesterday.
You were.
So maybe I shouldn't be trusted, but I feel like that robot's name is Cletus.
I trust you. Fox robot.
We need to double-check it.
Oh, yeah, spelled like a cleat.
Like an NFL cleat.
Mm.
There you go. Yeah, Cletus the slack-jawed
yokel
is just an E. There's no, he's not spelled like a cleat.
So I look for the humanity in those guys, and I mean I know that there was a real, like, in that locker room, it was a real struggle. Like, you'd see a book, or you'd be like, hey, you talk to a guy off mic, you're like, yeah, I got to get out of here, I got to make it to class, and you're like, what are you studying? And then you talk with them, and they're like, don't tell anybody, like, don't say a word, don't put this on the radio. I had plenty of, hey, don't put this on the radio, stuff. From guys in those locker rooms about specifically this. And luckily, things started to change. I think Sam Acho went a long way to help change some of that perception overall, where here was a guy, and shout out to John Fox. This is the one thing I'll give John Fox credit for. He knew that Sam, it was important for Sam to finish his education. And in situations where they didn't need Sam to necessarily be in town, he could go back to Arizona and finish up his MBA work.
Well, how about,
and I give John Fox a lot of credit for recognizing that Sam was more than a football player.
Well, you know, your friend Charles Tillman is a guy who got the most out of his NFL career, playing till the end, and in fact trying to have another chapter in Carolina briefly, right?
Yeah.
And while also pursuing an entire life that he continues to pursue after football in law enforcement and as a very inquisitive, active brain. I mean, so there's a wonderful example of being able to do both.
He's another one of those guys that was in school that didn't want anyone to know that he was in school.
I'm not surprised to hear it. But, you know, but that's a guy who left nothing still undone in an NFL sense, Charles Tillman.
Well, yeah, because it's not mutually exclusive.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not. It's not the exact same conversation, but it's tangentially related. J.J. Redick checking Chris Russo today for
so great
for
so
how
good.
Mad Dog talked about Draymond, you know, sharing his opinion publicly and, you know, spouting off at fans and doing what he did. It was fantastic.
Yep.
But it's these are all cousins of shut up and dribble, poor, hungry, desperate, right? They're all kind of under the same tree.
They are cousins. It's a terrible family reunion when they get together.
Yeah, controlling language and just entertain me, but don't be two-dimensional, not three-dimensional, that sort of thing. But yeah, that Redick clip was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love in the Reddit clip, he's like, you know, people love Draymond on the podcast and otherwise because he's real and unfiltered. And on the court, he was real and unfiltered. He is real and unfiltered. It's the same guy.
Yep. I give credit to Draymond, too. And I'm not the hugest Draymond fan, but I give credit to him for going to his own place, like going to the podcast after the game and being like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. This is what happened. He understood, like, let me use this space that I've carved out to not be interrupted or to speak on it how I want. And then we can take that along with what other things are said and what he said when he would ask pointed questions about things, and then use all of it to come up with a conclusion. I think it's a very valuable thing. And while I don't like some of the access media stuff that is going on where players try to rewrite their history, and Draymond has been one of them, that he's rewritten some of the Kevin Durant in Oakland history, him and Durant together when they did their sit down interview. I do think it's a valuable piece of content that we should be looking at and using along with everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say he's the favorite to be the next Barkley, right?
Draymond?
Well, yeah. I mean, they already put him in the chair whenever his team's knocked out of the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. They hired him. He does his own podcast with Cowherd's Network. Big investor, super opinionated, talks about other dudes in the league, totally unafraid. Like, I feel like when Barkley retires, he's probably getting that seat if he wants
it. Whichever one of those guys retires
first. Charles says
he's
close, right? Didn't he say, I'm 60, I'm out?
Yeah, but Kenny Smith the other day, I think it was to Jimmy Traino's podcast, said that he doesn't believe him because the job is retirement. He's like, other than the playoffs, we work one day a week. he's like, we work one day a week. What is retirement if it's not working one day a week?
Those guys last night, that is some of the greatest television of all time.
They're
really
great.
Well, but they with the baseball guys, they got it.
When the baseball guys invaded, it was so awesome.
The way that Pedro and Jimmy Rollins
And Curtis Granderson
are running into the room like excited little school children getting to play on the playground. And by the way, that's what Jimmy Rollins looked like standing next to Shaq.
Hey, we're going to be on a show that people watch.
Oh man.
And was it Lauren Shahadi that had to come and wrangle them at the end? Like, guys, we have a show
boys,
to do.
Dodgers Giants. Let's go, boys.
Let's go.
Okay. All right. Let's go. At the end, that was just amazing. But the whole thing, Shaq needing to post up Jimmy Rollins so he could get his on the other end.
So he can get his bucket back. Yeah. And Chuck just play any role. Like, he can play the bully who is, like, you know, arguing with Shaq and belittling Shaq, or he can play like
the clown
in the punching bag. Like, he knew they were going to get scored on. Yeah. Like, that was clearly part of the bit. And then, but he like plays the like, oh my God, yeah. I can't believe you let him score on
like,
us.
What are you doing, Shaq? What are you doing? And yeah. Shaq's like, guard your own man. Guard your own man. So good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Basketball
needed the baseball guys to make it better. You're welcome. Finally, that there show got good with the inclusion of my baseball
All
guy.
Right.
Pedro making the pitch, the pass. Is that what it's called?
Also travel.
Yeah.
Maybe dial it back just a little bit, Spiegs. Like, just a little bit.
Whatever. It was
a great moment, but, you know.
You're welcome. Basketball, you're welcome.
What we liked from the, we tried to make a series that did not have a lot of hype fun. We'll see if we were successful, Lawrence, to start the show. Then David Robertson will join us in 25 minutes. Our premise is that he's seen everything in baseball. 14 years, 37 years old, 5 teams, followed Mariano Rivera as the closer for the Yankees. And if you can do that, you can do anything.
Yep.
And now he's the closer of a young Cubs team. So plus the jersey cutting incident, plus all sorts of stuff.
He was in the Rays bullpen last year. How did they do things? What did he learn there? There's so much.
We feel like he has seen everything in baseball. So we're going to talk to him about that coming up in 20 minutes.
Boys, have yourselves a show. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you, Lawrence. Tanny's open. Kicks us off. Park at the Spiegel on the score.